Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
السلام عليكم. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Hasana? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Assalamu alaikum. I hope you can hear me. Seems like we're having some technical difficulties. Assalamu alaikum. I apologize. I, for some reason, can't hear you, so I apologize if I keep repeating myself. I'm really excited to, you know, be part of this show, but unfortunately, I'm not able to hear anything. I'm going to try it again. Nisa, I can't hear you. I feel like I'm just having a conversation with myself. So what I'm going to do, inshallah, for everyone that can hear me, I apologize for the technical difficulties on my end. I'm going to go ahead and log out and then log back in. Okay. No, I was told not to log out, so I'm going to stay. But I can't hear you or the show. So I hope everyone's doing well today. I'm just so excited. I'm always so excited to be part of this show with Nisa, and, you know, for all of you that are listening out there, I just want to take a moment, if you all can hear me, and just, you know, say alhamdulillah, because Nisa puts her heart and soul into this show. I mean, we all do. It's just, it's a collective, just, you know, unity of sisterhood, and it's just, it's really funny. It's not funny, but Nisa is just a really hard worker in general, just as a human being. I've known her since my youngest daughter. Well, I guess salam. There you are. I'm blabbering on about you. So there you are.
Alhamdulillah. I have to call in for some reason. I have no idea why.
Okay, well, I can hear you perfectly, and I'm glad you could hear me.
Yes, okay. So I was given an introduction earlier, but I'm not sure if anybody could hear me, and we have a caller on hold. Let me just give the brief introduction again, caller. Just give me a minute.
Sure.
Okay, so you're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Radio Show. Last week we discussed about reverts to Islam. We also talked about the struggles, being thankful that Allah chose us. We read a few surahs, Surah 61, As-Saif, 6 through 8, Surah 109, Al-Kafirun, and 114, An-Nas. And we also read a hadith, Sahih Bukhari. which stated, every child is born with a true faith of Islam to worship none but alone, but Allah alone, sorry. And I also mentioned a pop-up event going on in the month of February given by Mika Bo, and I just wanted to read the location for that pop-up. So any Black-owned businesses interested in vending, it's a free event for people who want to come and shop, but vendors interested in vending should reach out to Ms. Bo at 347-954-8094. And the address is 224-14B, Linden Boulevard, Cambria Heights, New York, 11411. I know there's an echo. I have no idea what to do about the echo.
Are you logged into the show in two different places, Misa?
I am logged in live, but that's how I can see the switchboard.
Yeah, so that's probably why we have the echo. But, you know, we'll just work through it.
Okay, so let me take this first caller. I did mention that next week our show, we will be discussing hair care under your hijab. So we're getting off to a little late start, and we have our caller on hold. But quickly, Hasana, was there anything else we were going to talk about?
No, that's it. We've covered everything. Like you said, last week's show was just really, it was very moving, and it was just such a powerful show. Every time we have these shows, it just strengthens this sisterhood. So, alhamdulillah, that's all I had to say.
Okay. I muted the live post one, so hopefully it's not that much of an echo. How does it sound now, Hasana?
It's still a little bit of an echo, but we're just going to push through and keep it moving.
Okay. Okay, it's not as loud to me as it was.
No, it's not.
Okay, so today we're discussing being born Muslim. And we have a few people that's going to call in, and we'll just ask them a few questions about being born Muslim, because I hear a lot of things, so I want to hear what they have to say about being born Muslim. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Can you say your name, where you're calling from?
Nasar, do you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hi, so this is Nasar. I'm from Brooklyn.
How are you?
New York. Doing good. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Oh, you called in a little earlier.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I could stay on hold. It's okay because I had two choices, either to hear on the phone or online. I can hold. I could stay. I'm hearing it.
No, it's okay. You're here. So let's ask you some questions. So you were born Muslim, right?
Yes, I was born Muslim. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. And, oh, by the way, guys, this is my Hajj sister too. So we went to Hajj in 2017.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. So where were you born?
I was born in Yemen.
Oh, Yemen. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And how was it growing up in Yemen being born in Islam?
I actually, like, subhanAllah, my journey to Islam was so funny because I was born into Islam, but I didn't know. I used to see, like, older ladies pray and fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told, because it was, like, the common culture at that time, I was told
mm-hmm.
that I'm not supposed to pray, that I'm not supposed to fast, which is not true until I get married, right? So that was, like, the cultural thing that was going on in Yemen. Mm-hmm. And every time I tried to imitate those women praying, and I tell them, I say, I want to do like you, I want to go to Jannah. They say, no, you can't go to Jannah until you first get married and then you pray. So to me, it was like a culture, it was like a habit. I didn't really
mm-hmm.
understand what Islam is, honestly, until I went
mm-hmm.
to school.
And
when
what,
I went
what
to school,
age
I
were you?
Like to teach. That was when I went to school, I was like 6, 7, and 8. Mm-hmm. So they started teaching me about Allah. And so it was like two different things. You know, the school is teaching me something, but mm-hmm. the environment or the people around me are saying something else, which is very bad.
Can I ask, what part of Yemen? What part of Yemen you were from?
I was North Yemen.
North Yemen, okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You went to school and then you started learning about Islam?
Yeah, so basically I went to school and the teacher started introducing us to Islam. And honestly, like, I had a lot of questions because I was so curious from a young, from the minute I started noticing things, I always had questions like, why do you guys pray? And then the minute I started hearing, like, the ayat or the verses in the Quran, I was like, wow, that sounds so different. You know, subhanAllah, I'm not used to those words.
Okay.
And so my grandma would laugh and she recites over and over. But then I had no idea what was it saying to me until I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the greatest influence was the teachers. So in mm-hmm. Yemen, we had, like, teachers from local countries like Sudan, Egypt. So they mashallah, like, they were very, you know, very close to the religion. And I was lucky that I had two mm-hmm. of them, like, one after the other. And so they started teaching me, you have to pray. I'm like, no, but my grandma can't pray until I get married. So he started laughing and he's like, no, in Islam, you can pray anytime you want. So I went home and I started praying, and that was like first and second grade. And so the family, like, around me were laughing. They're like, why are you praying? You want to get married? I'm like, no, I don't want to get married. I just want to pray. I just want to go to Jannah. So then when I came to the U.S., subhanAllah, I honestly, like, it was like a different, it was like a whole new trip discovering Islam. I think it was the true discovery of Islam when I came to the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
So now, what age were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was like 13.
12, 13. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you continued your education here?
Yeah.
Okay. And did you continue to go to high school and graduate? Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what age did you get married?
I got married, I think I was 23. I come from a family that believes in education. My dad would never allow early marriage. So, yes, even though we were like a traditional family that believe in, you know, you can't pray until, like, subhanAllah, I think it's lack of Islamic knowledge. That's why my family were saying that. But when it comes to marriage, it was like a no-no until I finished school. And alhamdulillah, you know, I got married, especially for the girls my age, where, you know, girls
right.
used to be married by the age of 16, 15. So to be 20 and 23, that sounds like, oh my God, you know, you're losing on your marriage. Like, you're too old. It's as if we say now a 40-year-old, you know, like within the Middle East, a 40-year-old is looking to be married, you know. It was that,
right.
that you know, that old. Yeah.
So now, let me see if I understand. So you got married, but you said culturally, it seemed like you were too old at the time.
Yeah, like the age of 23. At that time, I got married in 1995. So 1995.
Okay.
Girls from my country would be married by the age of maximum like 20, they're married. For me to be 23 and not married, that kind of like exceeded the age limit, like the max age limit to be married. Normally it would be like, you know, girls would do junior high and then
mm-hmm.
suddenly they're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time like they're supposed to be in high school, they're already married. starting their life with their partner. Some of those marriages did succeed. Some of them failed. But I came from a family, my dad, you know, he does not believe in early marriage. So he was like, you know what, let her finish school. You know, marriage is going to come later. He he didn't support, like, early marriage, yeah.
So did you go on to go to college and things like that?
I did, but then I moved to Yemen. We moved, yeah, my family moved to Yemen. And so there, this guy came, and he asked for my hand. We did the aqd, you know, the nikah aqd, and we got to see each other. And that was so, it was unusual. Remember, this is 1995, for someone to see her husband before the wedding day. And so I, you know, I sat down with him and we talked, and like people around us were just, I don't want to say the word gossip, but they were like, not only gossip, they were amazed. How can you do this? How can you sit with him before you go to his house? I said, I want to know him, because just in case, if anything, I don't continue with this marriage. And he also, you know, because he was religious, he also wanted to meet, you know, because we know we're supposed to meet before marriage, and, you know, we're supposed to see if we like each other or not. But our generation was contradicting with the older generation.
It's so bizarre. Hold that thought. We're going to go on commercial break, okay?
That's all I cared.
We're going to go on commercial break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought.
Oh, okay.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum. So, listening to the Muslim Sister Circle, we're going to just answer another call before we go back to Intisar. I'm your host,
okay.
Nisa. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air with Muslim Sister Circle. Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Afar from calling from Queens, New York.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, Afar. Thank you for being patient and being on hold. We're having a little technical difficulty. Sorry for the echo.
No problem. I'm here, sis.
So you were born Muslim?
Yes, alhamdulillah, second generation Muslim. Here in New York, my parents both reverted to Islam when they were young, and my mother was walking down the street one day, and my father was at the stoop, and he gave her salam, and he asked her if she was Muslim and if she believed in Allah in the last day, and she said yes, and then he asked if you were married, and she said no, and then he was like, well, you believe in Islam and Allah, then we should be married, and 2 weeks later they got married. So, alhamdulillah, they were married for 35 years, and from that marriage, they had 8 children, and I'm number 4 of 8. Growing up Muslim, African-American Muslim here in New York, it was a very unique experience, because at that time, my parents were like the pioneers of the Sunni Muslims here in New York, African-American. So all of their friends were also Black and Muslim. So everyone I knew was Muslim. I thought everybody in the world was Muslim, because that's all I engaged with. When I went to my friends' houses, they were Muslim. My family members had also converted, so most of my family were Muslim. So to me, being Muslim was the norm. It wasn't until probably that I went to fourth grade, even I went to Muslim school. I'm Jasa al-Islamiyah in Staten Island. They would bus us from Staten Island every day. It wasn't until I went to fourth grade that I realized that the whole world wasn't Muslim, because I was now in public school. That was a pretty interesting experience, and I felt culture shock, because even though I was around my people, they were Black, I was very foreign to them because I covered my hair, I dressed in long clothes, and we behaved differently. So it was very difficult for us adjusting to public school and mixing with other people that were that weren't Muslim, but alhamdulillah, we made it out by the grace of Allah. When I was 19, I got married. I always knew I wanted to get married young because that was the only way that you had some level of autonomy. Other than that, you were in the house, you were taking care of the brothers and sisters, you were doing what you were supposed to do. And so that was my way of having a little bit of freedom. So I got married at 19. My brothers and sisters also got married young. This was the norm. My friends got married young too. So alhamdulillah, 30-some years later, I'm not telling my true age, I now have 4 children. I'm married, not to the same person I was married to before, but alhamdulillah, I'm still married. And I would say overall my experience with being Muslim here in New York, I can go any place in the tri-state area and meet someone, and we're connected in some way if you're African-American. It's almost like every black person in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, they knew of someone else who was Muslim. So it still feels like a family. It still feels like everywhere I go, I know other people that were black and born Muslim. So alhamdulillah, I had a very positive experience. I thank Allah much for bringing my parents together and allowing me and my family to be Muslim. And I pray that I die as a Muslim. I mean,
how long did you go to Al-Madrasa?
I went to Al-Madrasa when I first went to Muslim school, I was in kindergarten. There was this small school called Al-Madrasa to Shahideen. And we were there for about a year or so. And then the school closed down. And then we went to Al-Madrasa Islamiyah from first grade to the middle of fourth grade.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I hear a lot of young people say this, that they feel like their parents forced them to be Muslim. Do you feel that way, or do you feel like you chose Islam for yourself, or was there a certain age in which you decided Islam was for you?
It's interesting because I think as someone born Muslim, we all go through this time in our lives where we make the decision that we're going to practice Islam, not because of our appearance, but because of our connection with Allah and that we believe it's the truth. So when being raised Muslim is almost like muscle memory to make salat, to do certain things, to eat, to fast. And then when you start getting older and you have the decision to make choices, you realize that not that you don't want to be Muslim, but that you kind of had the choice to do it, whereas before your parents were making you do it. So I think most people who were born Muslim go through that time where perhaps when they got to the place where they had to make decisions for themselves, they decided Islam for themselves.
What age do you think this reality kind of happens for you guys, being born in the deen?
I think that if I hadn't gotten married right after graduating high school, it probably would have happened then. But I would have to say that in my mid-20s, probably going through some life changes within my marriage, that it kind of forced me to really, I would have to say that I had to rely on my faith to get me through. So I would say that was the point that I really started practicing on my own. It wasn't just from muscle memory. It was from wanting to be Muslim, wanting to connect with Allah, wanting Islam for my children.
Right. Do you agree with some parents who say that, or some parents that actually don't do it, but there are parents who, their children, they bring up in the deen, right? They practice themselves, but they don't really implement it so much for their children, where they have their children wearing hijab or kufi or going to the masjid, every now and again, but there's like no extra teaching in the home, like no Islamic studies.
No,
this is mainly for kids who go to like non-Muslim schools. There's like no Islam really in the home where the children kind of grasp as land for themselves. That's why they probably feel that their parents like forced them. They don't really know much about Islam for themselves, but it was just something their parents made them do.
I think that's an interesting question, because I think that until you become an adult and you live in the West and you're living in a society that's not predominantly Muslim, that we are plagued with becoming quote-unquote everyday Muslims, meaning that we make a lot, we go to work, we fast, we do these basic pillars, but, you know, we find it difficult to try to really learn the deen in the way that we should. So I think children and adults alike are faced with that. So if you think about my generation that was born Muslim, our parents were the first generation that became Muslim. They had this real zeal for the religion. So we was in the masjid all the time. We was learning about the deen all the time. So my father would come home, and whatever he learned, he was always overseas studying. We would have classes. We would have talim. This is the norm. So then when we became older, it was almost like, okay, our parents, they did too much, because now that we're in the world for ourselves, and we're seeing that through the eyes of a Muslim in America trying to kind of like live in both worlds, we kind of like held back a little bit. So we taught our children the basics, and we let them go to weekend Muslim school, but we didn't go as hard in the paint as our parents did. So now that I'm older and I have a second group of children, I have older children than I have younger children now, I find myself leaning more to the way that my parents did, because I think that it's important that you have a strong foundation. And that's what we're responsible for. So when your children get older.
And do you see a difference now in the first group from the second group of kids? You see a difference?
I see that my older daughter had to go through that point in her life where she had to choose Islam for herself. But I see that it benefited her that I gave her some leeway as well. So it's interesting.
Right.
So I see both sides of it. But now with my younger daughter, just being a little bit older, I find myself being a little bit more stricter, only because I just feel like the society that we live in is far worse, and they're being exposed to way more, you know, things that are not okay, kufr and homosexuality and atheism and all of these things that they're being plagued with. I think that we are almost forced to give them this strong Muslim identity, not being overbearing. Right. They still need to have fun. They still need to be children, but I think that we have to be strong in terms of teaching them what Islam is, because it's too much information, it's too much influence pushing Islam out the way.
So true. Well, thank you so much, Afa, for your call. Very insightful. And
have
may
you
Allah lot, bless
did you.
You.
Have any questions? May Allah bless you all as well. Did you have any more questions?
No, that was it.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We're going to go to another quick break, and then we'll be right back.
If you love them enough to barely sleep, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Assalamu alaikum, Intisar.
Alaikum assalam.
Okay, so I'm just going to briefly have you continue, but I wanted to ask you a little bit of what the other sister was talking about. Do you have children?
Sorry, yes, I do.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you teach your
children differently than how you were raised? Like, instead of telling them, no, they don't have to do this until they get married, they don't have to do that. Do you kind of implement Islam in your home daily? And do they go to Muslim
school? I agree with the sister. I agree with her a lot, because now it's very challenging to keep the Muslim identity. Since everything is open and okay, and since, like, it's, like, becoming the new norm, and it's okay. So whatever is considered haram in our religion, such as, like, you know, for example, like having a partner outside marriage, it's becoming like something very normal. Even when we speak ourselves as Muslim, we think like, oh, that's his girlfriend. Oh, that's his boy, you know, her boyfriend. Like, it became something like very usual that even to us as Muslim, when we see like early marriage, we go, oh my God, she married at this young. So yes. So it's very challenging to educate them about that. It's very challenging to educate the early marriage of Aisha, to explain to them why Prophet Muhammad did some certain, you know, things, because the attack is coming from all over. As a Muslim growing in the, in especially in the Western world, and now it's even in the Middle Eastern countries where they, there are some people that claim that they're atheists and that they were actually born Muslim, and they come and they kind of like bring doubts into the youth. And so they make them think this is wrong and this is the correct way to be. And I face that within my family. I have like, mashallah, I have six kids.
Okay,
one of them is very challenging, alhamdulillah. One of them is very challenging to the point that it's a struggle to get that one to pray. And not because that person does not believe in Islam, they do. That person does. When I say that person, I'm referring to one of my kids. I don't want to say the name.
Right.
She does, you know, she does believe in Islam. She loves Islam, but she has hard time practicing Islam. And subhanAllah, I don't know why. The other one,
but that goes
loves
with what
Islam.
The other sister was saying, right? Was that at a certain point in her life, and I'm sure a certain point in your life, you decided that Islam was for you. So at the other sister, her point was after she got married and had some struggles in the marriage, and she had her faith had to be for her to realize, like,
it's
this
true.
Is
Islam I think I relate
right.
to her with that.
So
too,
at
myself.
what age did you have that realization?
For me, maybe it was more than mid-20s, because I actually had a better life as a single person than when I got married, because, you know, the struggle of trying to communicate with a partner, especially if you're sharing half of your life with him, that kind of, like, bring, you know, issues into the marriage. And then it kind of, like, gave me these, not doubts, but why? Why women are we treated that way? And it made me go on the search, not for my faith, but for the freedom of the woman in my faith. And it made me like search for my rights as a wife. Like, why am I supposed to be treated this way? Is this okay in Islam? I don't give a damn about my culture. I don't give a damn about, you know, the habits or the you know, the tribal beliefs. I give a damn about what? About my belief. Is my belief saying it's true for the women to be treated this way? And if so, then that if that religion is true and it's saying for the women to be treated this way, the way I was treated, for instance, then I don't think that's a fair religion. I got to find myself like, I was looking for ways to fight to keep my faith. And so, one point of our life, we get tested, and the test is very, very hard. So may Allah, you know, affirm our hearts when we get tested with that, especially when it's a test with your identity or yourself, or sometimes the test is, it's to attack the best of you, the best in you. If you're motivated for something, and then suddenly you have someone who's blocking you, and that someone has rights over you. And then you as a wife must obey. But what are the limits?
So what do you do, though? What do you do to help yourself to get stronger in your deen?
Well, I started searching. I didn't believe anything I heard. People around, like people that supported that marriage or people that were supporting his side of the right, as he considers it, his right. They tell me, oh, okay, look, read these books. And those books were honestly, they had hadith, they had verses of the Quran. But then those, I felt like they were taking one side, which is the side of the men, right? I didn't like those books. I felt like I have all respect for those scholars. They're amazing. But at the same time, they did not give me the cure for my marriage. Like, what's my, I don't believe a religion would say something, you know, like very heavy on her, on a woman, very heavy on a woman and not on a man. Like one of the hadith.
Right, because
right?
we have
the one
rights.
That says, exactly, we have rights, it's equal. But it took me a long time, more than, maybe more than 15 years to know that. And I wish there
so
was
you
a
think
book
that it was
that
more of your culture that played a role?
So my culture, yes. But honestly, also, there aren't enough books or educational background or halaqat in the masjid, and nothing to educate the women about her rights. It took me, like, I did it on my own. You know, I had to search up what are my rights as a wife. You know, how can I fight for myself? How can I stand for myself and be the strong, you know, believer? And if this, I wanted to keep my belief. I loved it. But I was noticing that I was oppressed under my belief. And then later on, when I gathered all, you know, let's just say the hadith and the books that support the women, I never looked at the book that support the men. I have so much hate for them because of all those, you know, of what I went through maybe. And then they say, oh, it's his right upon you. He can't sleep and he's upset at you. If that, you know, the angels curse you. But then, subhanAllah, I grew up to know that it's for both sides. The same thing on him. If he sleeps and I'm upset, then angels curse him too. But I didn't know that at that time. So it made me give up a lot. It made me, like, the scare of, like, having, you know, gathering sins and he's sleeping and I'm awake and I need to go beg him, please forgive me. And thinking that it's only on my side, not on his side, it made me want to
so
search
now,
for more.
Being
no, this,
born
is,
Muslim,
this can never
though,
be Islam.
How do you feel that your children are going to be raised compared to how you were raised? So you were born Muslim.
Oh my God.
I know
that's
it was a little
one,
difficult
yeah.
because
well,
of cultural, but I just want to get back to the being born Muslim part. So are you raising them based on culture or based on just Islam?
When I was young, based on culture. When we came to the U.S., it was Islam. It was the, it took a turning point when I came to the U.S. because now they know you're in the U.S. You can do whatever you want. It's not like Yemen, you know, where and if like the girl rebels against her family, the first thing is the honor killing, whatever they call it. You know what I mean? So with the U.S., they more like it's, the women has more rights. And subhanAllah, the women took a lean toward Islam because, you know, you don't want to do anything wrong. You still have this belief and you grow up in it and you love it so much. You hear me? Okay.
Yes.
And so
we're just going to wrap up now, okay?
Yeah. Okay. But subhanAllah, you know, I think the best way to do is when you go through doubts or struggles, search in Islam. You will find the answer. Never believe in the culture or the habits of, you know, the place you came from. Never believe in that. Those were added in. They're not Islamic.
Yes, I agree. Shukran for your insight and for calling and for being patient with us with the sound. I really appreciate you. And may Allah bless you and bless you to have a good life. I don't know if you remarried, but after a hard time.
No, I'm
cool
with him,
that,
but
right?
We struggled. Now it's better. It's way better, subhanAllah.
Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. After hardship comes easy.
Thank you for having me, and this is like a great radio show. You know, keep going with the good work you do. So proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. So we're going to go to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle. I'm your host, Nisa.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, assalamu alaikum. Hasana. Can you hear me, Hasana?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yes. So, alhamdulillah, we had some good callers today. And
absolutely.
Some interesting, I guess, I don't want to say topics, but I think something good that the sister mentioned, Afaf, she mentioned about just being more strict on these set of kids as opposed to her older set of kids. And my father always says, you know, no one gives you a manual on how to be a parent.
Yes.
You kind of learn as you go, and your first children are kind of like your guinea pigs. You just trying to see how to manage it, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you get the second group of kids, you kind of do a little better. I think that happens in all families, because definitely has happened in mine. So with your children, because you're a mom of three beautiful girls.
Thank you, Masha.
How is it that you're raising them? Because I know, you know, you weren't born Muslim, but you're raising Muslim girls. So how is your parenting style when it comes to raising your children up as Muslim women? And we're going to have a show on this later on in February, but
I can't
just wanted to ask you based on what she said.
Sure, this has been a great topic, you know, being born Muslim, because like you said, I wasn't. I was raised Christian, and this is very different, you know, from how my children were raised. So for me, you know, I don't want to misrepresent and be like, oh, I was a perfect example for my girls, because I always felt, you know, I kind of wanted them to grow up how I grew up. So I always felt, and I think I mentioned it in another show, like I was afraid to be like, oh, well, you have to cover and you have to do this and that, knowing that when I was, you know what I mean, knowing when I was that age, I, you know, I didn't. So when they were really little, it was like, you know, I guess it's okay not to wear kimar to school, you know, as long as you're wearing it every other place. And so, you know, I really had to learn, honestly, as I went along. And being surrounded by my companions that, you know, like Amina and you and other companions that were really a good example, that really helped me to see, you know, how our Muslim daughters should be raised. So I just kind of watched them. And alhamdulillah, you know, as they got older, you know, they started to really, like the other sister was saying, you know, either you accept Islam for yourself or, you know, it's not by force. So I just never wanted them to feel like this is something that I was forcing on them. I hope that makes sense. So they, you know, like I said, once they got to be about 14, you know, they always, you know, make sure they're covered and, you know, alhamdulillah. And then their father is, you know, he always is just the deen first and always, you know, whenever spending time with them, giving them books and, you know, making sure to talk to them and, you know, always making sure everybody is praying. And, you know, he's really, when it comes to the deen, he's really the really powerful influence for them to always put their deen first. And so, you know, they've really, alhamdulillah, they've really, you know, grown into beautiful women in Islam. And, you know, it's beautiful to see because, you know, they do have, you know, they have, of course, their Muslim, you know, sister friends. They're more than just friends because they're like family to them that they've grown up with all their lives. So, you know, it's beautiful. And then they have other kids that's not Muslim that see them but are intrigued by them and really, you know, want to be friends with them. And they don't compromise. You know what I mean? They don't take off their hijab or do anything. I mean, they're themselves at all times. So it really leads people to be, you know, intrigued and really interested. And I'm so proud of them for that because, you know, they are themselves. So they are strong in being, I couldn't be prouder of them. So I guess to answer your questions that, you know, I've tried to just kind of be a, just be encouraging, but not being overbearing. Well, they'll be resentful when they get older. So I hope that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it does. That's very true. Because that's why I asked the question to Afaf about, you know, the children and if she felt at a young age that she was forced and when did she choose Islam? Because like we were talking about last week, we chose Islam, you know, and we at a young age, you at an early age in adulthood, but that was our choice. So it's always different for children who were born Muslim to really accept Islam for themselves, you know, and when do they accept Islam? for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting that her and Itazar, we call her Zola, she accepted Islam, they both, in their mid-20s. You know, that's when they really realized mm-hmm. it for themselves. And everybody goes through struggles, you know, whether you accept Islam or you were born into Islam. I think mm-hmm. anybody in any religion has their struggles, especially when
oh, that's
they
such
grow
a
up
good point.
In a religion. Yeah, they have yeah. their struggles, you know, Christianity, Judaism, Jehovah's Witness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People who raise their children in religion, they just want the best for their children, you know. But
mm-hmm.
you have to give
mm-hmm.
them that foundation. You have to give them
yes.
that foundation. You have to give them the basics so that when they are old enough to make decisions for themselves, they make the right decision, you know, based
mm-hmm.
on
that's
what
you support
them.
That's such a good them. Point. Yeah.
So
and it's so funny. Yeah. Because it's, and it's not
end.
About. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, please, after you.
Oh, you know, because of the echo, I didn't hear that you wanted to say something. I'm sorry. I'm just going to make the point that, you know, people want to criticize Islam and how mm-hmm. children are raised and when they start covering mm-hmm. or why they're wearing all that at a young age. But you're just teaching your children what to do so when they get older, it's not hard for them, like wearing
mm-hmm.
a hijab at a young age,
mm-hmm.
wearing a abaya sometimes at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting them used to the proper way of dress so that when they get
mm-hmm.
older, it's not as hard for them. You know,
right.
even if they decide
mm-hmm.
when they get late teens, like 18, 19, or even in high school that they want to start wearing pants, but as long as they know to cover properly, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
their
Absolutely.
Choice. But as long as they keep the hijab on, they're praying 5 times a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, just obeying Allah to the best of their ability. You have to give your children a foundation and a basis. So,
yes, that's such
I
a good
know.
Point. No, you said it absolutely right. I think the first important thing that you said, and I think people don't want to admit it, everybody struggles, you know, and sometimes people don't want to admit that, and they make it seem like, oh, you're struggling. It's never been a struggle for me, and it's just kind of
right.
like,
right.
so this is why I love this forum and this opportunity, because it's a safe space. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always, every week, I think I not 1 week that goes by that I don't say, you know, it's a struggle. And it is, and I don't, you know, and but I feel like this is a safe space to be able to admit that. But at the same time, you know, we're giving each other such great insight and that encouragement. And I think that, you know, that's another thing that, you know, our children, especially ones that are born Muslim, you know, I think, like as the sisters were saying, you know, it's really the company that you keep also that's going to help you to make that decision as well, because if everybody around you is not doing the right thing, then that's what you're going to gravitate towards. But alhamdulillah,
mm-hmm.
you know, these girls have always had their companions that they've had, you know, since they were born. So, and they're seeing them married, like they were talking about being married, and seeing them being
mm-hmm.
great wives and being great mothers and just strong in their deen and always looking beautiful in their kimars and their hijab, you know, and their overgarments, just such great examples. And they're just surrounded by, you know, other Muslim girls that are a good example for them. So, you know,
right.
that's something
that's
okay. really, really important.
Yeah, you have to keep yourself surrounded with Muslims because you cannot be Muslim by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the worst.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because people think that, oh, you know, I'm Muslim now. I don't got to go to the masjid. I don't got to hang out with no sisters.
Yeah.
I don't have to talk to anybody. But no. Trying to be Muslim by yourself is really hard. That's when Shaitan preys on you.
It
you
is
have
true,
to
just
keep
like this COVID.
By
yeah.
Muslim companions.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, and that is so important. And like you said, you know, the teachings, and I'm just so happy, you know, the girl's father, you know, he has class with them and just always, or they're always looking for, you know, classes to do. So I think that that's really, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see them
yeah.
grow up, you know, just in some
it
ways
is.
Very
I
much like
I remember you
me.
Told me that the girls were doing like a talim during Ramadan because they couldn't go to the masjid. So they kind of formed
yeah.
their own talim and their own, what is it
yep.
That we make at the masjid?
How do we, yep.
How do we, yes.
Yep, yes, they did. Yes, they
yes,
did.
I was
they,
so proud
all, you
like,
know.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yes, they were up all. I mean, I would be, you know, I would be in my room because that was when I was home. That's what during the height of COVID for me. But I would be in my room, and all the lights would be on, and be like, come on, and encourage. It's just so beautiful there. You know, Halima, oh, my goodness. She's just such, oh, my goodness. As a big sister, she's just such a good example for her sisters. So she's like, come on, girls, we can do it. We're staying up. And she had an Arabic class that she would, they had a schedule. She had, you know, she had an Arabic class that everybody was participating in. And then for us between each salat, she had us reading. Oh, no, she had us on a schedule, honey. And we better not break that schedule either. There was reading from the women of Islam. And then she gave, you know, we had Arabic class. And then they would play, what's that thing, Kahoot? And they do an Islamic version of that. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah, and it's not like it used to be back in the day when we used to have so many classes. Like the sister was saying, you know, there's no classes in the masjid.
Nope.
We used to go to classes, remember? We used to have the book club.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah, none of that. And the teens, they actually have it harder now. And like Afaf mm-hmm. was saying, you know, she's more strict now because things are so much out there now. You know, it's like you're being forced to believe this, believe that. You know, it's on TV, it's in the street. But there's nothing, you know, that you can kind of send your kids to like we used to do.
Right.
And sit and watch it and learn. And, you know, I mean, there's things, I think, online sometimes, but not as much as it used to be. It used to be good to go to the masjid and sit amongst the sisters and learn and read.
Yes.
It used to be such a nice time.
You're absolutely right, you know, and that's how I started, you know, it's so funny because that's how, you know, I remember because when I became Muslim, I wasn't a teenager, I was in my 20s, but I would go to the classes on Sundays, and we were at 116th Street, but yeah, that's how I met my husband, but because they would have the classes at 116th Street, so there was a class that was teaching you how to do the prayer. Then there was a, you know, teaching you the short surahs and yeah. And then, like you said, that was our routine. And then, you know, 96th Street used to have things and there used to be a sister's class at Columbia University. So, I used to take, when Halima was a baby, I used to go to that. And but like you said, they don't even have that anymore. It's not the same. They don't have all of those types of things.
And like you said, you met your husband there. So it's even hard for the teens these days to even meet a husband because there's nothing to go through.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a really good point, meeting your husband in a, you know, halal way, because even though I was already in my 20s, believe me, we were chaperoned. They would sit at one table. We would sit at the other. We used to go to our hair.
Things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, you can find a nice husband for yourself, or a husband for your daughter, or a wife for your son. Now, you know, there's nothing like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know someone who knows someone who knows someone to get a good reference.
Absolutely.
So it is hard in these days for the Muslims. Yeah.
It is.
All right,
but
so
in a way,
like that's our show. Inshallah. Next week, we'll be talking to Sister Natasha Somali from Philadelphia. She has her own beauty salon and hair care line, and we're going to be discussing hair care under your hijab, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about her product. Black-owned business, y'all. Support.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Hasana, for joining me. My co-host, Amina, couldn't be here today because she wasn't feeling well. And we are so sorry for the difficulty with the audio. Inshallah, it'll be fixed next week. We love you guys for listening. You're listening to the Muslim Sister Circle Talk Show, radio show. And we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahilladhi أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن عملا وإنا لجاعلون ما عليها صعيدا جرزا أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة فقالوا ربنا آتنا